Amen. Praise
Praise the
God.
Lord. Thank you for that. Last week, Pastor Rawa shared the Bible study, and he said something which I'll get to eventually. It's just a little preview. But he said something that jumped out at me, and it's something that I had been reading for a little bit now, and so I'm going to try to piggyback, if I may, a little bit off of what he said. Maybe not, but I'll just call it that. But there's something that happens, you know. I'm gonna start off with a question, okay? And you guys can answer. It's an easy audience right now, okay? Has anybody, easy question, has anybody ever forgotten someone or something important to us or something important to do? And don't say what it is, because I don't want to cause trouble. I don't
All
want
the time.
to.
Forgot to say I'm sorry.
Sometimes you just have to say sorry without I wake up and just say
I forgot to say I'm sorry. I said, oh, I forgot to say I'm sorry.
yo. Yeah, I wake up every morning, I just turn around and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm sorry for today. You know, we forget things, right? We forget moments on Friday. So I'm gonna share a little story. I'm gonna start off with a little story. So on Friday, right now I'm working 10 hours a day. So we're doing some OT. But on Friday, I'm working, we're busy, lot to do, and you get locked in. You know, when you're working, you get locked in and you're doing stuff, and it was a good day, productive day. You're getting along with your coworkers and just a good day, right? So 3 o'clock, I'm locking up, closing up, and I'm on my way to the car. And as I'm on my way to my truck, I get a phone call, and it's my sister. And my sister says, I said, hey, how you doing? And she goes, hey, did you forget? And right away, when you get that question, right away you get that feeling like, right, you're scrolling through like your calendar, your personal calendar, and you're thinking like, uh-oh. Right, something happened. So she goes, hey, did you forget? And I said, forget what? And bottom line, I forgot I was supposed to take my dad to his doctor's appointment. And it was 3 o'clock now, and his appointment was at 3:30. So I was like, oh, I was like, yeah, about that. I don't think we're gonna make it. But it's that feeling I got when she said that, did you forget? And I got that ugly feeling, you know, something wrong happened. I was supposed to do something, and so I forgot this appointment. We had to cancel it, reschedule, and all that. But it wasn't even in my mind. I was having a good day working wise, and you know, I was ready to go home, done, right? And next thing you know, this happens. I got this news of I forgot something. And you know, we can all chalk it up. I asked the question, you know, how many of us forgotten something, maybe important stuff, and we all have. Right? We all have forgotten something. You know, we're human, we could say, right? We forget things, right? We've all forgotten, right? Don't raise your hands. We've all forgotten maybe kids at school. Don't raise your hand, right? Kids at school, right? We've forgotten maybe wedding anniversaries, birthdays, things like that, right? Though I'm not trying to start trouble here, right? I'm just saying things that we may have forgotten. But we forget these things, right? And we chalk it up to being human, right? We chalk it up to like, oh, you know, that's just our nature, or, you know, I was distracted, or whatever the case may be. But we chalk it up to that. Hey, I just forget. But the question that comes to mind, and the question that kind of stood out, as I said earlier about something that Pastor Al was saying that kind of jumped out to me, the question is, but does God also forget, right? Does God forget also, right? Is he also like that where he forgets? And the reason I say that, we have our Bibles, let's start off in Book of Exodus, chapter 2. Let's scroll. We're going to read a couple of verses. We're going to go Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. All right. You guys ready? And it reads like this, verse 23. It says, "Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them." Amen. Excuse me. So this story here, what's happening with the Israelites, just to kind of give you a little summary of what's going on. This happened right after Moses kills the Egyptian, right? He sees him beating up the Israelites, and he kills them, and he buries them, and then he's running for his life. And if you guys are watching the movie, if this was a movie and you guys are watching it and you guys know he's the hero, Moses is going the wrong way, right? You know, if you kind of know the story a little bit and you're watching the movie, like I said, you think, hey, this is perfect. The Israelites are in slavery. They're suffering here. And this guy right here is coming up in the kingdom. But all of a sudden we have this event where he's going the wrong way. So our hero of the story, he's heading the wrong way, right? And some of us yell at the screen when you see that something's going on the TV? Anybody? What are you doing? Don't go that way, right? Don't open that door. But anyways, we see that he's going the wrong way and things aren't going right, right? So the Israelites right here in this story, in this part, may have felt forgotten in this place, right? The suffering upon them was happening. And if we go back a little bit to the end of Genesis, this is the start of Exodus. But in the end of Genesis, right, we know how the story ends in Genesis. Right? The story in Genesis ends with the story of, you guessed it, Joseph. Right? It ends with his story, and we know, right? A lot of us know the story, what happens to him, right? Sold by his brothers, right? Left for dead, ups and downs in his life, what's going on with him. And we see everything that's happened, but at the end, we see that he ends up being second in command in Egypt, right? And then there's a famine, right? This is a quick paraphrase of the story, a little summary, but there's a famine, right? They go, his brothers go and buy food, and then Joseph notices them and read the story. You guys will know more. But bottom line, what I'm getting to is that the family comes and they reunite, right? They reunite ultimately because of the famine. Now the family has a place to stay, right? They have a place where they can live, where they can grow, and their families are going to grow and they're going to multiply, as we're going to see. Excuse me. So we see that at the end of chapter 50, we see that it's kind of a happy ending. Now, it's not a happily ever after ending, but I guess you can say it's a happy ending, right? He gets to reunite with his father, gets to see him before his father dies, reunites with his family. And so things are looking good, right? But then when we get to the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph." Right? It says, so Joseph was second in command. He had favor with Pharaoh. Right? But now it says there arose a new king who didn't know Joseph, didn't know about him, didn't know the story, didn't know the agreements, didn't know nothing. Bottom line, we know that the favor was gone. Right? That the favor that they had because of Joseph, that was gone. And we see that because of this, when this new king came, yeah, that sounded right. It says that he made them slaves. The Israelites, he made them slaves, right, in Egypt, right? They put taskmasters over them, and they served with rigor, the Bible says, right? They made it tough on them. It made things tough on them, okay? Pharaoh, and then eventually Pharaoh commanded that every male born would be thrown into the river, right, and killed. And we know the story of Moses and the basket. But we see that all this came because they saw that the Israelites were multiplying and they were growing. As you read it in the book of Exodus at the start, it says that they saw that they were multiplying, they were growing, right? And they said, you know what? If somebody attacks us and they join them, we're going to get defeated. So because of that, we're going to put these taskmasters over them. We're going to make it hard on them. We're going to make it rough on them. So they put them into bondage, into slavery because of this. The Egyptians had fear, right, that the Israelites were growing so much that they would turn on them. But we see one thing at the end of Genesis chapter 50. At the end of Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24, it says that, "And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of the land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Right? So when he is dying, he tells his brethren, he says, "Hey, the Lord's going to bring you out of this land." Right? Remember, they're in Egypt already. And he says, "The Lord's going to bring you. This is not your final spot," he says. He says, "The Lord's going to take you out of here." Right? And he gives them instructions. When you leave here, he says, "Carry my bones from here." Right? When I die, he gives them instructions. So he already knows that this is not his final resting spot. Right? He knows that this is not their final resting spot. So what was Joseph doing here? What was Joseph doing there? Joseph was hanging on to a promise. Right? Joseph was hanging on to the promise, right, made way back to Abraham, right? The promise that this was not going to be their spot. There's going to be a better land. There's going to be a better place for you. And I have promised you, you're going to multiply. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to be a blessing to others, blessing to the nations, right? So he was hanging on to, he knew this is not my final spot. But we see, as we read in Exodus chapter 2, it says that their cry, the Israelites' cry came up to God because of the bondage. So they may have felt forgotten here at this point, right? Maybe they knew of this promise, maybe not. But they're at a place right here where it's not looking good for them, right? They're not looking good, and they may have felt forgotten. So we get to this place in verse 24, and this is what we're going to kind of zero in, and back in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. Matter of fact, if somebody has that, can somebody read that, please? Verse 24. I'm going to ask for some volunteers.
That was 224?
Yes.
"So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob."
Amen. So once again, as Pastor Al read, God heard their groaning, and the key phrase that we're going to zero in on tonight is, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, right? So they feel this is getting tough. This is getting ugly, right? They may have felt forgotten, right? Neglected, whatever the case may be, but they feel this is not going the right way. I said earlier, if we're watching the movie and we know the story, we're like, hey, the hero's going the wrong way. Right, he's supposed to be here to defend us, but he's heading the wrong way. But it says there in that phrase right there, God remembered. Right? God remembered his covenant. God remembered his promise. God remembered his word. Right? He remembered. And then after that, is if you read in the book of Exodus, as you keep reading in chapter 3, we get to the burning bush story. And we see God talking to Moses. And he's giving them the instruction, go back and let my people go. That was a little paraphrase, a little summary right there. Quick one. Right? But we see that God didn't forget. And eventually the hero that was going the wrong way, right? God stopped them. He says, hey, time to go back, right? And let's let them free. And we see that they're in bondage. They're crying. They're suffering. And it took me to a verse, something that I have been reading personally, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. And if we have our, if we can turn to that, please. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. And as you get to Genesis chapter 8, in verse 1, it starts off by saying, then God remembered Noah. Right? It says, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. and it says what God does. But that phrase pops up again. Then God remembered Noah. And this came after in chapter 7, it talks about the flood, right? Judgment on the earth. We see the flood happening. But it says it starts Genesis chapter 8, which is number 8, new beginning, right? It starts off by saying, then God remembered Noah. And you got to think of something. Chapter 7, as I said, was the flood. And in chapter 7, verse 24 says, and the waters prevailed on the earth, is the way it ends. The waters prevailed on the earth for 150 days. Okay, so you got to think, all this is going on. Noah enters the ark, and he gets in the ark, and the door closes. The Lord closes it, and then it starts to rain. 7 days after he enters, it starts to rain. And it rains. Does anybody know how long it rained? Anybody know?
Forty days and 40 nights.
I'm not sure how you guys see it this way or this way. It might have been 04 or 40, but it rains for 40 days, right? After waiting 7 days, he goes in, waits 7 days, the Lord shuts it, and then 40 days. And then it says that the waters flooded the earth for another 150 days, right? And then after that, right, we start to see the mountaintops and the waters receding. Bottom line, Noah is in the ark. You guys know? Anybody want to take a guess? How long? Closest without going over winds.
It's about a year, right?
It's about a year, right? It's 377 days. Oh, right? Let's call that a year. A whole year. Okay, hold on. Think about this. A whole year, right? Let's think about it one more time. A whole year.
And he didn't have Zoom.
Yeah. they're in there. Well, all
he
the
was animals. Quarantined. He was quarantined without Zoom.
yeah, he had no Zoom because he had nobody to Zoom with. Because there's nobody. They're the only ones on in the planet. Right? A whole year they're in there with their children, with the wives and with the animals and the right, Pastor Al, the dogs are barking, and they're all, he's out, where's the window? but they're in there for a whole year. So you think, let's put ourselves in Noah's place, if you will, okay? All right, what could be some of the thoughts that are going through your mind if you're in Noah's place? Just want to hear what you guys have to say. What, I mean, put yourself in this place. What can be some of the thoughts going through you?
To me, I know it's not going to be spiritual, but the smell, that would just be it. The smell being in there. And I'm claustrophobic anyway, so...
So the conditions, right? Going on around me. What else? What's going on through some of your guys' minds? What are you thinking here?
The length of time you would be tempted. I would be tempted to think, has God forgotten us on this boat?
Yeah. All these thoughts, right? Forgotten. Was I listening to the right voice? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I heard get into the ark. I heard build an ark, and I trusted, and I told my family, and nobody followed. How about that one? Nobody followed, right? I'm trusting, but nobody's following, and now it's raining, and I'm stuck in here, right? And just as Pastor Al said, you may have felt forgotten, right? The Israelites, they probably had that promise from Abraham, and now all of a sudden we're slaves. That probably led them to think we are forgotten, right? Things are not looking good for us, right? But then we see that phrase, then God remembered Noah. Then God remembered the Israelites, right? All these thoughts that go through our minds, it's not working out. It's not like, right? Zariah said the conditions, right? We look at the conditions around our lives, what's happening in our life, right? things are not looking good. Has God forgotten? Right? Has he forgotten me? Has he neglected me? Right? What's going on? All these thoughts may have been going through, right? 40 days, 150 days, 377 days. I mean, yeah, patience, right? Patience for the man of God. I don't know if we, right? We put ourselves in there and we're probably, there's probably might be some arguments and might eventually you go sleep there, you go over there and we'll go over there and I'll see you in a month, in a few months. Let's all separate, right? But when you hear the phrase, then God remember Noah, right? Does it, when you read it like that, then God remembered Noah, does that mean that God forgot him or about him?
No, really.
Right? If you read it for the text for what it says, right? Then God remembered him. Maybe you think, well, did he forget about him? Right? Maybe he was too busy, right? He's dealing with the flood and there's waters everywhere. Right, and all of a sudden, God one day said, "Oh, that's right, Noah. He's over there in the boat." Like me, when I heard about the appointment, "Oh, that's right, the appointment. I totally forgot about it." Right. So we think, well, is that the same for God? When you hear God remembered Noah, right? So if it's not the fact that he forgot him, if it's not the fact that he was too busy, right? Then what do you guys think it means when you hear then God remembered Noah? Or with just a phrase, then God remembered. What do you guys think that means?
He came to show them that he wasn't alone, that they were not alone. To okay. give them a little glimpse. I know what you're going through, and I know it. I'm here. Because mine says, but God remembered Noah.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Right. God remembered, right? He gave them a, so you're saying he gave them a glimpse or a little reminder that he's not alone.
Yeah.
Right? What else? Anybody else? What does that mean when God remembers?
Perhaps has a time and his time came to be.
Amen. You know, the word remember means to bring to mind, right? To bring to mind, like we think about how I remember, it came to my mind, I remembered, right? But here the word remember, right? Here we go. I'm like smarter than I really am, right? It's actually a Hebrew word, right? That's zakar, not sakar like in Spanish, take it out, but zakar with the Z, right? And it takes it a little deeper than just to bring to mind, right? So with this word, right, to remember means to act on the person's behalf, right? Or to fulfill a promise. Amen? So when you hear to remember, as Dahlia said, right? It is time, right? To fulfill the promise. They had a promise, right? And it's time to fulfill the promise, right? To act, that's probably my favorite definition right there. To act on the person's behalf, right? Something was about, when you hear God remembered, something was about to change in Noah's life. Something is about to happen, right? Something's about to change in his life. And we could say, you know what, let's just do it. Just say it. Something's about to change in my life. You can say it. Don't unmute yourself.
About to change in my life.
Right? Well, we'll see when God remembers, something's about to change. And Noah's life, the Bible tells us there in Genesis chapter 8, that when God remembered Noah, it says, as you keep reading, it says that he sent a wind and he stopped the waters, right? He sent a wind and he stopped the water. He stopped the rain. He stopped the flooding. He stopped it. His wind stopped, right? You think of other times where God stopped the wind, where he stopped the waters with his power, with a great wind. They crossed the Red Sea, if you guys remember. Jesus calmed the storm. Right. So the storms in life, it's raining outside and we talked earlier about it was raining this morning and there's thunder. But when there's thunder and there's rain and there's storms in our life, Jesus can calm those storms. Amen. As he has, as he does, and as he will tomorrow and from now on, right? He sent the wind and he stopped it. And we see that there's many in the Bible, this word God remembered is used many times. We see this happen many times, right? We see it in Genesis 19:29 when it says God remembered Abraham and rescued Lot, right? It says, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt, right? He remembered, it says, God remembered Abraham, right? Abraham had interceded for Lot. It says, God, when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, God remembered Abraham. He acted on his behalf and saved Lot, right? There's two women in the Bible, Rachel and Hannah, right? In Genesis and in 1 Samuel, it says that God remembered them and he opened their womb and they were able to have children. They were both barren, right? And they were able to have children, right? With Hannah, it says that Elkanah knew Hannah and his wife and the Lord remembered her. And we see that the prophet Samuel was born, right? But we see God moving on behalf of the people. Amen? We see that he moved on their behalf. And throughout the Bible, we see many times and God remembered and he moved, right? So if you feel forgotten, if they're in a place where they feel forgotten in despair, right? Rachel and Hannah, they saw that they felt favor is not with me, right? We see the other ones, they're having children and they're bearing children and nothing for me, right? Hannah, they thought she was drunk in the First Samuel. They thought she was drunk. And she was praying to God, right? But it says God remembered her, right? And opened her womb. So we see God's hand move at the perfect time, right? When God moves, that is the perfect time. Amen? God remembered them. God remembered many others throughout the Bible. And God will remember us, right? So if we feel forgotten, If we feel ourselves getting into this place, it's taking too long, what must one do? And here's the key, because last week we heard this. So if you have your notes from last week, it's going to help you for this part of the test. Okay. So if you feel forgotten, think of Noah again. There you go. Look at the notes right there. I better get mine. If you feel forgotten, as Noah, think of Noah. Okay, here's a cue. Think of Noah waiting all this time, waiting all this time, 7 days, 40 days, 150 days, 377 days in the ark. And also one more thing about that. There's no record during this time of the Lord speaking to Noah, right? There's no record about here's what God was telling him, and the second week God told him this and that, right? The last thing he heard was, right, come into the ark, right? That's the last thing he heard, come into the ark. That doesn't tell us what he was doing in there. We're putting ourselves in his place, right? All of us would have tried to find the window a day or two later, right, and jump out, right? But maybe somebody told me the other day, maybe he was happy the whole time. Maybe we don't know, right? We like to, you know, we're using right now forgotten for this, right? But we don't know what exactly was going on, and there's not recorded. It doesn't tell us. But what must we do during this time as you enter into the ark and you're waiting, you're starting to feel forgotten? What must you do? And Pastor Al, we're going to use this again. He brought this up last week. Does everybody remember?
Wait.
Right? And what are the, well, I'm going to use it again. He used the acronym of WAIT, right? There was no copyright on it, so I can use it again. There's no trademark. I didn't see it. But when you wait, what do we do? What's the W?
Worship.
Worship.
You worship the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
How about the A?
Acknowledged the presence.
Acknowledge.
Attentive.
What was that, Pastor?
Attentive.
Tentative. Right? What is God saying? What?
Pay attention. Pay attention.
What was the I? You guys remember the I?
Intentional. No. Good job. Intentional.
Intentional about following through, right? In other words, being obedient. Right? And the last one, there's a T.
The T.
Good job, Tilly.
That was easy.
thankful, right?
Thankful. Yeah, thankful.
So you wait on the Lord, right? As you're waiting, Noah was waiting on the Lord. Maybe he was doing, right, what was happening here, right? Which is way worshiping, being thankful. We don't know, it's not recorded, right? But it could have been that he was doing all these things. But if not, it's a reminder to us, right? To stay in this place of worshiping, being thankful, right? What is God saying? Are we in his word? Right, being obedient to what his word says, right? Is that happening in our lives, right? Praising, thank, right? When you start thanking the Lord, what happens to us?
It begins to change around you.
It begins because you're starting to see, right, his goodness, his greatness, how wonderful he is, right? When you start to worship him, right? What's happening as you start to worship him? What's happening? What's happening to your line of sight or your sight? It's on self and it starts to change to who? To the Lord, right? You're worshiping him. As I said, and you're thankful, you're praising him. So if you're feeling like this, alone, forgotten, if you're feeling at a place, right, you're left, whatever, despair, troubled, right, we need to get to this place where we wait, have this attitude of, right, it's going to help us in our trust, it's going to help our faith, right, it's going to help us. We're going to start, right, because discourage wants to set in, fear wants to set in, doubt wants to set in, right, all these things want to come in, and we know that fear is not of God, right? We know, right, that these things are not of God, even though they want to set in and they want us to focus on the circumstances. They want us to focus on the condition. The dog keeps barking at the chicken. The chicken keeps clucking at the whatever, the hippo. I don't know why I pick hippo, right? But we see there's all these conditions going on around us that are not looking good, right? And yet in that, we remain thankful. Thankful because our eyes are on somebody that is greater than all these conditions, right? So what else do we do while we're waiting? While we're, if we start feeling this way, we need to remember, right? We need to remember God's provisions, right? What has he done for us in the past? How has he, we need to remember how he provided for us in the past. Things he's done for us in the past. Right? A lot of times we forget about all that stuff, right? Because we have a new trouble, we have a new trial, there's something new going on in our life, and we forget that he's rescued us out of so many other things, right? And we forget these things, that God has been faithful in the past, and we forget that he can be faithful now, right? Because we think, once again, that this trouble is bigger than him, right? We need to get our eyes off of self, off of the trouble, and our eyes focused, worshiping our Lord, right? But we need to remember about the things he's done. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we think about the things done yesterday, right, I don't even mean just in our life, right? We have the heroes of the faith that we, as we read their stories and as we learn from them, right? We talked about Joseph. Right, how even through the ups and downs, he remained a man of integrity. Right, he remained a man of faith. It shows his faith and it shows his character. Right, it shows who he was. We see all these heroes of the faith who had faith in God, believing in the one who was leading them and the one who their eyes were set on. Right, so we need to remember the things that he has done. And if we feel, well, I don't think he's done it for me, anything for me. Well, let's talk to somebody. We have friends in the faith. Hear their testimonies. Hear their stories. Be encouraged by what the Lord has done in their life, right? We may have troubles in our life that somebody else may have gone through, and they can encourage us, right? That's why it's important to stay connected, right? To stay in the fellowship. That's why it's important, right? To be there for one another, right? Where one lacks, when one's in need, the other one may have it, and we lift each other up. Amen. And we remind Amen. Ourselves of how good God is, right? If somebody's struggling, we can tell them, hey, I was there once too, and God helped me out. So we remember his provisions, right? All this to lift each other up, to help each other up. Another thing we do is we remember who God is, right? Remember, and we remind ourselves who he is, who his nature is. What are his characteristics? What are some of his characteristics? Just shoot them out. What are some of his characteristics?
Faithful.
He's faithful.
Loving.
Loving. I should be checking them off as you say them.
Compassionate.
Compassionate. He's powerful. Go ahead. I heard somebody. Sorry.
He's true.
He's true. Right? He's forgiving. He's holy. Right? He's above all, right? All these things of who he is, as we get to know our God, our Savior, our Lord, our helper, our refuge, our strong tower, our shield, our provider, right? We get to know who he is, his character. And as we remind ourselves, even though we start feeling this way, we remind ourselves about his nature, who he is. Amen? Somebody said, God knows everything. Has the power to do anything, and is perfectly good. Right? So we got to remind ourselves, he knows all, right? He's above all. He has the power to do anything, and he is perfectly good. We may feel forgotten, but that's not who God is, right? Our emotions do not lead the way. Amen? Our emotions want to lead the way, and sometimes we let our emotions lead the way and dictate how we're going to feel. Right? But they shouldn't be leading the way. I'm going to share this quote with you guys. It's from D.L. Moody. And it says, a man once came to D.L. Moody and said that he was worried because he didn't feel saved. Moody asked him, was Noah safe in the ark? Certainly he was, the man replied. Well, what made him safe? His feelings or the ark? Why was Noah safe? Because he felt safe or because he was in the ark? The ark represents Jesus. To be in the ark is to be in Christ. To enter in the ark, to be in the ark is to be in Christ. Yeah. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. Amen? Our salvation doesn't rest on our feelings, but on Jesus. Amen? Our feelings shouldn't be leading the way. I don't feel saved. I don't feel this. I don't feel this. What does God have to say? Who is God? Right? I don't think God can help me here. Well, that's not God's character. Right? God is love. I don't think God can forgive me. God is forgiven. God is merciful. Right? Remind ourselves of his provisions. Remind ourselves of his character, of his nature. And we also got to remind ourselves and remember his promises. Right? Abraham had a promise. Joseph, as we see, was still believing in that promise years later when he says, the Lord's going to move you out of this land. Carry my bones, right? Take my bones with you when you leave. He was still holding on to that promise. Moses had a promise. In Genesis 6:18, the Lord tells Moses, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Right? So we see that Moses had the word of the Lord saying, before he tells him go into the ark, he says, I'm going to establish my covenant with you and your family. Right? So when he stepped into the ark, he had faith in the Lord, faith in that promise. Right? That the Lord's going to see it through. 40 days, 150 days, 377 days, right? I'm trusting in God. I know for us, we think about it and we think, wow, I don't know if I could have, right? But we have to remind ourselves to wait, to remember the promises, remember his goodness, remember his nature, right? We have promises to stand on too. I'll read a few and then we'll close from here. But we also have promises to stand on. Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. Sometimes feeling forgotten, feeling neglected, feeling abandoned, right, may lead to giving up and throwing in the towel, right? And the word of God says, and the Lord is telling you, do not become weary in doing good. Do not give up, right? For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Philippians 4:19 tells us, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Seek ye first his kingdom, right? And his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, right? It tells us, do not worry about anything, but seek ye first his kingdom. He will supply all of our needs. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And God will not leave you or forsake you. If you feel forgotten, right? Write that one down on a little tablet on your phone, right? And just say, God will never leave me or forsake me. You are never alone. The enemy, the devil, wants you to feel alone. He wants to separate you, but say, no, the Lord will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Right? When Jesus was crucified, and you had the two men on each side, and one of them says, what does he say? Remember me. Mm-hmm. Remember me when you're in paradise. And he says, you're going to be with me now. Right? But he says, remember me when you are in paradise, right? The Lord will not forget us. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And finally, Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. They're just a few of many promises in the Bible, many verses in the Bible, many words from God, right, that speak of his love, that speak of his nature, that speak of a reminder to us that we are not alone, that we are not forgotten, right? It's a reminder to us, right, as we see in Genesis chapter 8, then God remembered, right? As we see in Exodus chapter 2, then God remembered Abraham, Rachel, Hannah. Then God remembered, right? With us, God remembers. He will move on our behalf. There's promises, and we stand on those promises. Our faith is in him. Our trust is in him. Our eyes are on him. We worship him. Right? Let not fear, let not doubt, let not confusion enter into our lives in Jesus' name. Right? Let not neglect and discouragement in Jesus' name. Right? But let us always remember that God is with us, never leaving us and never forsaking us. Amen. I'll stop right there. If anybody has a question or anything they'd like to add.
I don't have anything. Those promises are very timely, Mike. Thank you for that reminder.
I mean, when you said wait last week, and I had just finished reading about then God remembered, and I was like, this guy had to wait in the boat all this time, right? and you put yourself, like I said, you put yourself in that boat, in the shoes, and what would we do? And it's just a reminder of things we have, we should be doing.
Okay. Good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Si no hay más preguntas, in the words of Pastor Al. Pastor Al, you mind closing us in prayer?
Father, we just thank you tonight for reminding us that you always remember us, Lord God, that you have a good time and a place to do what your purpose is in our lives. And thank you for these incredible promises that you remind us of tonight, Lord. Not the least of which, Jeremiah. Thank you that you've drawn us with loving kindness to yourself, Lord God. Thank you for your tenderness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. And thank you for keeping these things in the forefront, that you're telling us not to lose heart, not to give up, for in due season we will reap as we just wait upon you. I just pray that you would give us the grace to wait as we're worshipful, Lord God, and as we're giving you thanks and connecting with others. I just pray that you would give us that grace, and each person, Lord God, that's here tonight and those that are going to be hearing this later. Thank you for Pastor Mike and what you're doing in his life and how you're using him and ministering through him, Lord God. I just pray your blessing over him, your blessing over his family, and over each of us that are on this call tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. All
right. Everybody have a good night. Be blessed.
Thank you, Pastor Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye.